Before I begin my homily, just have a couple of announcements, both for you who are here and for all of our people who are watching at home today. You'll read in the bulletin, I encourage you to read my column, especially this weekend. A couple of things I'd like to point out. The first thing is that next week we will begin some limited singing again at Mass. And you'll see the rationale for that in the bulletin. So please read that. And also, you'll read about the final recommencing of a particular campaign that had started. This past July 11th, our diocese celebrated 200 years since its creation. And the bishop had planned for lots of celebrations, but this is the year 2020. So you may recall, though, reading in our diocesan newspaper that one of the main initiatives that the bishop had planned was a special diocesan-wide capital campaign to help strengthen our parishes, our schools, and the outreach programs across the whole state. Now, here at St. Mary's, we had been put into the very last of four blocks. Other parishes had already finished. And here we were in the starting of the final block, and I was, in fact, myself prepared to roll it out to the entire parish in March when something happened, and we couldn't. So if we have your address, then you should receive some detailed information in the mail this week about the campaign. If we don't, or even if you'd rather do it online, we'll have it on the parish website as well. And there is a little thing in the bulletin, give some great information this weekend. Our goal had been set at 1,720,000, half of which comes back to St. Mary's. That means 50 cents of every dollar will be returned to our parish for things we need. And some good news is that we have already exceeded 52% of our goal, having already raised over 900,000. So thank you for our early donors. So what's it for? That's a good question. So our committee had identified three areas of need here at St. Mary's. We divided it into past, present, and future. In the past, we desperately need a new roof on old St. Mary's, our beloved old St. Mary's, as well as repairs or even replacing of the organ that is there. The roof, by the way, is over 100 years old. We have gotten our money's worth from it, absolutely. Normally, in a normal year, we would be using Old St. Mary's every day for all kinds of things, for daily masses and school mass and funerals and weddings. It's sort of the workhorse of the parish. And so it's a precious piece of our history for so many reasons that we need to preserve. For the present, we would like to pay off the remainder of our loan that pertains to the building of this church. We are so close, which is absolutely amazing, considering it was a $12.5 million project by the end of it. And finally, with our future, our children. We hope to do some upgrades to technology and security at our school. And already we've received some funds back from this campaign, and we've begun additional fencing, you can see, as well as replacing what one person called the historic Boyd Hall bathrooms, which apparently hadn't had anything done to them since they were built in 1950. Friends, I know this is the absolute worst time to do any campaign. But even so, we would like to close this out, what we had begun. The bishop would like that too. So please note that any gift of any amount will help. You can pledge, and you can pledge over a period of 5 years. And that helped me make a much larger gift than I could normally. So what about that other half? Well, I want you to know that it does not go to the bishop, right? Funds raised actually go to the Catholic Community Foundation of South Carolina, not to the diocese. And so that Catholic Community Foundation then distributes the funds to important projects for people, including help for our struggling Catholic schools in the state, help to educate our seminarians, and social outreach for the poor, the elderly, and some others. And you'll find those details in the mailing that I mentioned. So in the coming days and weeks, you'll be hearing more. So please help us to get to our goal. Every gift of any amount is important and helpful. So God bless you for your help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The prophet Isaiah delivers some incredible news. Now remember, he is speaking over 700 years before Christ. And he says, on this mountain, the Lord will destroy the veil that veils all peoples. He will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will destroy death forever. The mountain he is speaking of is Jerusalem. And that veil, as he mentions, is death. And we often hear this reading at funeral masses because the prophecy was in fact fulfilled with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross in Jerusalem. That's where the mountain is, where Jesus sacrificed his body and blood for his bride, the church, on the mountain of Jerusalem, so that we could live forever. But Isaiah describes this liberation, he says, as a feast of rich food and choice wines for all peoples, is the prophecy. It's a banquet. Specifically, he's describing a wedding banquet. Friends, welcome to the banquet. The Mass is the eternal wedding banquet of the Lamb, Jesus, and his bride, the church, made present in time, made possible by his supreme sacrifice. The book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, ends with an invitation to this wedding feast, this wedding banquet of the Lamb, which we hear today and at every Mass. Behold the Lamb of God, blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. So Jesus picks up on this in the gospel parable. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. The king is God the Father, and his son then is, of course, God the Son, Jesus. But the guest who had been invited, it says, refused to come. They refused. Now, a little background on first century wedding invitations might be helpful. First, an invitation went out just to say that it was going to happen. Sort of like a save the date almost, right? And that way people would be able to get ready. They knew that it was coming. And then another invitation would go out to give the day that everything was ready, it's time. And also, this is not just anybody, it's the king who's inviting them without cost to this banquet. And it's hard for us to, as Americans, to wrap ourselves around a king. Just put God in that place, and hopefully as believers, we can at least experience that and understand that. So it's extremely insulting then that the invited guests then refused when the time came. It wasn't that they necessarily were going to do something sinful. It says one went to his business, another went to something else. What they did is they put their own mundane interests above his. Jesus directed this warning to the Jews of his day. He wanted to express to them just how much God wanted them to share the joy of the kingdom, but also to give a warning about the consequences of refusing the invitation, refusing the Son, the long-awaited Messiah and Savior. But this isn't just for a chosen people 2,000 years ago. It is for God's chosen today. We, as the church, are called the new Israel. We are God's chosen now. You and I constantly receive this invitation at the eternal banquet, the invitation to eternal joy. So the question to ask myself, how do I receive it? Is it with indifference? Do I have better things to do? We'll get to it later. Your relationship with God is the most important relationship in your life. And if you and I can't get that one right, we can't get any of them right. In the second part of the story, the parable focuses on those who would never have considered getting an invitation from this king. It says the good and the bad along the highways. It refers to the Gentiles, that is the non-Jews, and to sinners. It means us, fellow Gentiles and sinners. We were not originally chosen, but God has opened wide now the invitation. Now, this is an invitation of grace, undeserved, unmerited. We don't do anything to deserve it. God's life in the soul. God's grace is a free gift, but it is also an awesome responsibility not to be treated with indifference. The banquet of the Lamb of God, this Mass, heaven itself, was won for us by grace, undeserved, the unmerited life of God. And this grace was not cheap. It cost nothing less than the life of God's Son for you and for me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian in Germany who died for his faith under Hitler in World War II. He distinguished between what's called, he called cheap grace and costly grace. Listen to his words. Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. The preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. He's describing how we might sometimes treat our faith. We don't mean to. Maybe we just sort of fell into it over the years, but it happened. Treating our faith as if it's there, it's just a given. Or worse, as if God somehow owes salvation to us, and he should be happy that we came or are watching it at all. That's the problem with the person at the end of the parable. The wedding garments were there for free, and the guy didn't think he needed to prepare himself. We put our conditions on God. Well, if God's really this loving God, he's got to take me as I am. I don't need to do anything. That's cheap grace. But Bonhoeffer continues, costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which the person must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It's costly because it cost a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. Friends, the kingdom of God is not just something in the future, far away. Christ the King invites us right now to experience a little piece of heaven with every celebration of the Most Holy Eucharist in his body and blood, to show us how much we mean to him, and he lavishes spiritual joy and refreshment on us. Are we putting something else first, something mundane or worldly, sports or vacations or whatever, our own interest above his, our Creator, our Redeemer, without whom we would not even exist? Come to the banquet of Christ that's been prepared for you with joy and with gratitude for the cost. Let us also be those servants who go out and invite others to come to the feast in the name of the King, to come and be the light of Christ for the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.